Time now for a visit with our conscience in residence. Randy Cohen writes the ethicist column in the New York Times Magazine, and he's here today to solve all your problems, or as many of them as we can manage in 5 minutes. Hello, Randy.
Hello.
Our letter today comes from Scott Williams in Palouse, Washington, and he writes, "My wife and I live in a small community that is embroiled in controversy. The proprietors of a restaurant and a coffee shop we enjoy belong to a church whose pastor is affiliated with a neo-Confederate movement. He's written contentious things, including the claim that slavery as practiced in the South was not evil, but is morally justifiable because of biblical references that sanction Christian servitude. Should we join with those in the community who are boycotting these businesses, that is, the restaurant and coffee shop? Should we care about the religious beliefs of the people that make our coffee drinks? Thanks for your help. We're delaying our purchases of lattes and croissants, pending your reply." Randy, some advice for Scott, who's probably by now suffering from caffeine withdrawal.
Geez, I hate to stand between anyone and their latte. You don't need philosophical consensus to get a cup of coffee. That if we're going to have a tolerant society, we can't require each shop to tack a summary of its owner's beliefs on its door, like a restaurant posting its menu. So I think if this goofball proprietor keeps his ideas about slavery out of the dining room, you not only are you not required to boycott him, it would be deeply offensive to the spirit of the right to believe as you see fit. If you did boycott him, you should not do it.
I'm a little surprised, Randy. How would you square that kind of answer with, for instance, civil rights boycotts of businesses in the South?
Oh, those boycotts dealt not with what someone believed in the solitude of their own religious fervor, not with what they believed when they were at home, but with their actions, that you should boycott and can boycott a racist practice, but someone's private beliefs should not be reason for you to boycott their business.
We have Scott on the line with us, Randy. Scott, what did you think of Randy's advice?
Well, I appreciated his thoughts, and yeah, I was trying to balance my own need to be tolerant of other beliefs and my desire not to subsidize beliefs that I don't necessarily embrace myself.
I think I have a solution. while you're not... Well, here's a spot where I think you can start to take action. If this guy intrudes his beliefs into your coffee, you know, if he come at the counter, engages you, presents you with these offensive ideas, your first option is to have a conversation. You can refute this nonsense.
Right.
Your second option is this, I think. You have no obligation to patronize a restaurant where you're going to be harangued by this guy.
Well, there was no proselytizing or anything like that taking place at all.
Then I think that the values of a tolerant society trump your distaste for his ideas. What does it mean to have the right to believe or the right to think as you see fit if that makes it economically impossible for you to live?
Right. I agree.
I want to say one other thing, though, about this guy. While, you know, he seems mildly deranged to me. In a sense, he's right, in this very narrow sense, that he at least has the courage of his goofball convictions. The Bible does say that slavery is all right. Leviticus chapter 25 says
that's what they're quoting.
Yeah, it says you may own slaves provided they're purchased from neighboring nations. You know, if I were a Canadian, I'd be plenty worried.
Well, thank you very much, Scott. Very interesting question.
All right.
If you've got a question for the ethicist or you just want to buy him a cup of coffee, write us at watc@npr.org. Put the word ethics in the subject line, and please be sure to include a phone number so we can reach you. Randy, thanks very much for joining us.
I've enjoyed it as ever.